Hello and welcome to Gilead. My name is Soren Hodgeshire, I'm the comms and admin hoss here, and thank you so much for joining us. Gilead is a queer storytelling bar church, and we wouldn't have it any other way. We're kicking off this April and May with the theme of What Was I Made For? We're asking questions about listening to our hearts, listening to the genuine inside ourselves, and what we're truly searching for. So listen now as Vince will be preaching upon listening to your gut feelings, and what that really means.
I need to poop. Yeah, thank you, everyone. Very supportive, the people gesturing. We had made it maybe 100 yards from the airplane when Nola made that declaration. The airplane that we had been on for the last 8 hours, the airplane with restrooms in both directions down the aisle. By the way, I asked Nola if I could share this story, and she said, "That's gross." But yes. That day, we had just landed at JFK and had something like an hour and a half to clear customs and make it to our flight home. And at that time, it would regularly take her like half an hour to poop. Luckily, it didn't matter because there was nowhere at all to go. Just those endless corridors you walk down when you get off of an international flight, only emergency exits on either side. "I have to go to the bathroom," now with growing urgency. "Okay, where do you imagine going?" "I don't know if there's gonna be a restroom before customs, kiddo. You may be waiting a while. Why didn't you go on the plane?" "I didn't have to," and so on. For the unmeasured miles you end up walking at an airport, both of us increasingly worried, both of us increasingly frustrated, at least one of us increasingly likely to poop our pants. Until we got to passport control, a gigantic room with a line that snaked past stanchion upon stanchion, and at the far end of the room, well past where we should have entered into the line for US citizens, a single pair of restrooms with its own line. Visions of sleeping on an airport bench while we tried to find standby seating on a flight to replace the one we were definitely about to miss played in my head. "Honey, I'm sorry, but you might just have to hold it." "Daddy, I'm listening to my body." She knew she had won. It was the phrase that we had been repeating to her for, that at that point, years. Crowded into some stall together in a public restroom, or sitting on the floor next to the toilet, like playing videos on our phones for her and begging in desperation, "You have to listen to your body." The GI specialist had explained to us that thanks to chronic constipation when she was really little, the signals had gotten mixed in her brain. She was so used to withholding that now, when she felt the urge to go, her body read it as a prompt to clamp down, tighten up, hold it. And we had all, through painful, tearful, scary months when the threat of permanent damage and intestinal surgery loomed large, we had all had to retrain ourselves to let go and relax and listen to her body. Even if it meant sleeping on a bench at JFK. The church in Corinth is holding out. Paul says, "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our heart to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to you as my children. Open wide your hearts also." That's the New International Version, but the KJV, the King James Version, first time at Gilead ever, it gets even more to the point. To fully hear this, you need to know that straitened is an archaic word for restrained. "Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels," Paul writes. That gem of translation brought to you by a very literal reading of the Greek word splankna, which means, yes, bowels and guts, viscera. But but also compassion, mercy, tenderness, arguably the translation you would go for. But it's, you know, thanks to King James, the authorized version of the Bible, we have all of my new favorite memory verses, like Philemon 1:7, the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Or Philemon 1:20, yea, brother, let me have joy in the Lord, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Or Philippians 1:8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Over and over again in the Gospels, when Jesus comes across someone looking for healing or is faced by a crowd that is hungry for good news, the story says he was moved with compassion. But it's really a gut feeling he's giving into. It's visceral. It's a bowel movement. I really appreciate your restraint. Translating Paul's Greek literally puts like a finer point on it. In the Greek, it says, my mouth is open wide. My heart is expanded. You're not restrained by us. You're restrained in your bowels. You should be expanded too. However you translate it, Paul is telling the Corinthians, stop holding back. God is offering you grace. Why are you resisting? Trust your gut. Believe that feeling that God has planted inside you. Don't ignore it. Don't contain it. Let go. Relax. Listen to your body. Sometimes people come to me wanting to like start a spiritual life from scratch. They didn't grow up with faith, or the faith that they grew up with was more harmful than helpful. They want to start over. The God they were given turned out to be not that godly. And they wonder how to get acquainted with another, with the other, with the God of love, the one who moved Jesus with compassion and opened Paul's mouth wide. They wonder where to start. Usually they're like looking for a book recommendation. Or maybe a Bible passage, a prayer that they can say. But my advice is always the same. Listen to your body, your heart, your guts, your spirit, wherever it seems to be located in you. It's kind of like my spirituality 101, that God, the God of Jesus and Paul, the God of love, that God is inside you, is moving and speaking within you all the time, prompting, urging, giving those gut feelings. St. Ignatius called them feelings of consolation and desolation, feelings of moving in the direction of God and moving away from God. And Ignatius's spiritual exercises are in part like tuning in to those feelings, learning to sense them and to trust your body and the God who gave it to you. Especially because over time, those signals have gotten mixed. We've been asked to ignore them, to hold it, it being some part of the divine spark in us. We've been trained to clamp down on it just when we should be letting it flow, or vice versa, to be suspicious of it, to question the things that are most natural in us. And the church, of course, is the one who has done it, restrained us, straightened us, done such a thorough job of shutting us off from that inner voice, that gut feeling, that God that lives in our bodies. The God that took on a body, not to separate us from our bodies, but to show us how to inhabit them. And it started at least as far back as Paul. Like, he's so frustrated with the Corinthians' restraint that they're holding back. But just a few paragraphs before that, he's telling them, while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We would rather be away from the body and at home in the Lord. No wonder they're bound up. And of course, it's just continued from there in the church and everywhere else, all of the voices that seek to separate us from that one voice. The voices that tell us, you may have to hold it until some future time when it will be more convenient. Those voices that want to hurry us, to keep us going, to get us in line. And then we wonder why we're so restrained, why our compassion is stuck, why our tenderness has stopped flowing. We have to stop and put our foot down to declare with urgency and finality so they can hear it. I am listening to my body. For the next 2 months, our theme is, what was I made for? We're talking about discernment, about finding or refinding our path, about discovering our true work, whether we get paid for it or not, and also, apparently, about poop. I mean, we'll see if it becomes a sub-theme. All 4 weeks, maybe 3 out of the 4 weeks. Spirituality 101 is where it starts, listening to the God in you. You don't need any book, at least not to start, because books need interpretation, especially books in which the same word can either mean compassion or intestines. Thanks, Brian. You have to know which to choose. You have to know what to choose to sift through the many voices for the one voice. Luckily, the God who made you well, gave you a compass, a map, a heart, a brain, a gut. And no matter what anyone else has told you, if you want to hear them, all you have to do is let go, relax, and listen.